Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
There, our house is a mess. Get your ass in that seat. Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. This is a show about dating and parenting and relationships and books and what happens when you record it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
Woo, and I'm Ben, understanding what it means to do housework.
Oh, you're understanding what it means to do housework.
Yep, I pulled my back doing housework.
Well, I think that's more of a testament to how infrequently you go downstairs and vacuum. So when you were asked to do that today, you pulled a muscle. So what should that tell you?
It should tell me that you got to stretch before you do housework. Housework is a physical activity, you know?
Housework is a physical.
I can run 30 miles.
Right.
But put me to vacuuming or even just walking in a mall and I collapse. There's certain kinds of tasks that are so draining for me that I'm unable to do anything.
This might be the whitest, most malest thing you've ever said on the show. We have to play the tapes, but just like,
physical labor in my own home.
Well, you are very similar, like hiking. Like you can run on a treadmill, right. You can pick up, you can do lots of, you can stand at a concert forever.
Yeah, but we don't have to hike every day, and we should be cleaning every day.
Well, yeah, no, I totally understand.
Is there a mouse in here?
I just heard a squeak. I heard a squeak, squeak, squeak.
This is not planned. There is something squeaking, and let's just pray it's not a mouse. And if it is a mouse, you about to see something funny happening. We're rolling. We just gonna keep rolling. Let's just keep rolling. If you don't get some good laughs on the show today, you should be getting some really good laughs in Atlanta, Georgia tonight, because we are currently on stage. If you're listening to this on the Wednesday drop, we should be on stage because December 20th is our live show. So thank you, all those of you who are currently at the show or you went to the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. It's going to be great. We've been working really hard on this script this time around, making it even bigger, even better. So I'm excited about that. Ben right now is also rocking that sweet baby Jesus merch.
Internet cousin.
That sweet, sweet baby Jesus merch. So if you would like to purchase some more merch, you can go to www.amberwallen.com. Let's jump right into the show. Is this mouse going to ruin my life today
show? No, you're fine.
Okay, we're going to try to make sure it doesn't. The first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influence.
It's time for the hashtag Influence.
Okay, Ben, let's talk about virality today, okay? Because I told you about this at the house, but I wanted to just, you did the research on the story. So there's this bride and groom, Madeline and Jacob. They recently got married. Congrats on their nuptials. And they filmed and made a whole like content series of this wedding. And this wedding is estimated to be worth about $59 million. So this was a rich bitch wedding. Okay. Glitz, glam,
fart
content. So what typically happens when you go super, super viral on the internet? If this has never happened to you, if you've never gone very, very viral on the internet, let me tell you what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to congratulate you and be like, oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah. And what are the other people going to do, Bia?
They're going to do offensive recon. So basically, it's exactly what it sounds. They're going to do reconnaissance of all the videos you posted in the back. So like any white person out there, you slipped up, you said the N-word, they're going to find it. They are going to find this video. You made some like mental health joke. You told someone to go unalive themselves. They are going to find this.
They're going to find it.
Anything you've ever done on the internet that you forgot about, maybe just you made fun of neurodivergent people when you were 14 years old, they're going to find it and they were going to accost you.
Yes, they are.
They're going to put it on blast because they're going to leech off your virality.
Absolutely. 1,000%. And sometimes the internet, I mean, has good receipts. They do their research. They're really good detectives. So in this situation, the internet discovered that the groom, right? The groom ended up, let me get this correct, Ben. You can say it as I'm looking it up.
So the groom, a few months prior, I think in January of this year, before he got married.
Of 2023.
Mm-hmm. 2023, he fired a weapon at officers and with the intent of hurting them. And now he faces up to like 20 years in prison. He survived. He didn't get killed. The thing that baffles me about this, though, is that he posted bail for $20,000.
Yes, and these are like, you know, very rich, white,
yes,
like millionaire, billionaire. I think her family is the heir of like Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, they work for Mercedes-Benz. I think they owned a couple of dealerships, so decent money. He, I think, represented some like famous country music. He was part of the Country Music Association. Like they have money, they have wealth.
Tons of money. Yeah. Two major Mercedes-Benz locations. So she's the heiress of this family.
$20,000 won't even buy you a Mercedes-Benz. $20,000 will buy you a decently used car.
It will.
So this guy tried to kill police officers.
Police officers, yes.
Survives. He is not harmed. Goes to a wedding. And then, you know,
his wedding.
His wedding. Goes to his wedding. But it was able to post a $20,000 in bond. Like you could just sell. People can scrap together $20,000.
Their people especially. That is a drop in the bucket for them.
That's a night out.
So what ends up happening, right? This bride who shot all this content for her wedding to make the streets jealous ends up taking all of this stuff down. Yep. And what we really want to talk about today is essentially, you know, everybody wants to go viral. Everybody wants people to be jealous of their stuff. But then when the internet and the trolls come at you, you know,
you can
either stand on business, as the kids are saying, or you can delete your content on your page. And that's what she did. Do you think, should she have deleted the content? I don't. I stand by, like, let the wedding live. Now you can start a new series of what your husband did wrong.
Or maybe, like, marriage in jail or something. Like, she was just, because he goes to jail and then she has to maintain a relationship with him for 20 years in jail.
You know? I'm invested. I'm watching this show. Or do you think it would be in poor taste to leave these videos up, start that viral series, and monetize off of
your husband's crimes? It's obviously poor taste, but the internet is for poor taste. Like, let's be real. The internet is about poor taste.
George Santos right now is racking up. I read that George Santos, who charges $500 a cameo, you know, the disgraced congressman of the 3rd District of New York.
Did you meet him? You met him.
I did. Well, I was in the room with him when I went to D.C. in March of earlier this year. Who, shout out to the Patreon. A patron just so happens to work at the Capitol in D.C. And I reached out on the Patreon. Join the Patreon. I reached out on the Patreon and said, like, hey, are there any D.C. patrons here? I'll be there. Met this patron. She said, I work at the Capitol. I can take you on a tour of the Capitol. And as she's taking me on a tour of the Capitol in the room where, you know, no bags, no phones out, I see George Santos just, like, talking somebody's head off. So I saw him. I did not stop him and speak to him.
Does he have as much butt filler as it looks like? Does he look worked over?
No, well, no, at
butt
that
filler
time,
in the face. He filler. Didn't have...
It's not... Okay, it's just filler. You can just call it filler.
I thought all filler was butt filler. It's the same filler. Like, it's the same... Do you put the same filler in your lips as your ass?
I do not feel confident saying that on the record.
I just like people... Yeah, when people get filler in their mouth, it just looks ass-like. It looks butt-like.
Really?
It looks booty-like. I'm like, is that your booty or is that your...
No. I've never gotten filler, obviously, but it fills the face. It plumpens the face, which there's something youthful about that. But I'm saying,
and round,
what point was I making?
$2 million.
Yes,
Cameo.
He's made $2 million on Cameo just because people. It's like he's kind of the hot goss diva right now. But in reality, I'm like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that he was misappropriating funds, he's lying about his identity, he's lying about his resume, and now he's making $2 million in Cameo?
It sounds like this young couple lost an opportunity, right?
Right.
They made all this beautiful wedding content. They went to, like, the Palais Opera House, which Amber and I went to. can check out our TikTok.
In Francais?
Yeah. Literally, that Belly? They rented out that entire spot. It's this beautiful opera house. They shot part of the John Wick, John Wick 4 there. It's incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah.
Actually, my picture of Amber on my phone right now is her standing at this enormous, beautiful fireplace.
I'm shaking my head because that picture makes me look like a true villain.
You look so cool.
No, it's one of those like pictures in between the shot. You know how you have like a smooth 15 pictures that you have, and then you're like, oh, this one definitely isn't it.
Yeah.
That's the one I choose. We'll post in the Patreon.
And then they were at the Palace of Versailles. I think it was like $2,000 per night to stay near there. And so they put up this huge, beautiful wedding, and I feel like they could have capitalized on his court case. You know, I bet our lawyers were
his
like,
his bail was lower than what we pay for our wedding.
I think it might have been equal to it. I think we paid some help. Right.
From who?
I think didn't your mom buy you your dress?
She bought me the dress.
Privilege.
Which I'm very grateful, Mother. Mother, if you listen to this, I'm very grateful that you bought me the dress. But I wouldn't call that.
I thought it was $15,000. I think we budgeted $15,000 for our wedding.
Yeah. And we saved that. We paid it.
Yeah. Within like months.
Right. But here's what I'm saying. You see a lot of flexing on the internet.
Yeah.
And sometimes.
Not from us, obviously.
Well, we try our best to not make it look like a flex. Mm-hmm. We try to be like, hey, we're going to Paris as a family. We're going to try to vlog our time there. But sometimes it just is a flex. So like, what is that? You know, what's that sweet spot of like, I want to share the cool things I'm doing and what's going on in my life, but I don't want to just be like, $59 million.
It's actually both and, because y'all need to check this out. Watch Amber's Tazo video she made with Issa Rae. And in this video, she pretends that she's like Issa Rae's best friend. And you're delusional in the video.
Right.
But you were actually doing a brand deal with Tazo, who Issa Rae has a partnership with.
Right.
So you actually did go to the event. And then you did get like Issa Rae's permission. Where like you're like Issa was like, hey, I want to give you a hug, and like and Amber was like, no, you have to pretend to hate me. Like you actually coached.
I was like, I wrote this script for you to hate me.
You had to coach her.
Not
so
coach her, but you know, direct.
So that's sort of a flex. Like it's so clearly you're like making fun of your delusional self, right?
Yeah.
And that's the funny part. But you actually did collaborate with Issa Rae.
Just in that brief moment. I'm not going to sit here and act like me and Issa are best friends. But in that brief moment, I was supposed to be meeting her. And I told her what I wrote for this content script. And then I just want to say, like, Issa Rae is the sweetest person ever. Because she was like, I can't curve a hug from you. Like, the internet will hate me. I was like, I wrote in the script. We got to do it. Are we rolling? Are we rolling? She's like, you are crazy, but let's get the shot. So she's just like so dope.
So she helped you out. But you are also delusional, because that's how you sometimes are. You sometimes, like, you pretend you're on Broadway when you're just in your living room.
So what you're trying to say is this couple should tell a funnier story arc about their marriage, their lives together. Like, I think she would kind of win public favor, because everybody's kind of in their fuck the police era anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she would probably kind of win a little bit of public favor if they share the story of what happened.
Yeah,
maybe?
I mean,
I don't know.
The story could be so horrendous and awful.
It could be horrendous and awful, or it could be like, you know, I was drunk one night and the cops show up at my door telling me to keep it down.
They were wearing all black. I thought they were black people. Yeah. Like,
how is that funny?
That's what they could have said as their defense.
Who was wearing all black?
The cops. Cops wear black, I think, in Utah.
Okay, this is my question to you.
Or it was like North Carolina.
How is the people sharing a comedic reveal of this story and sharing,
oh no, I'm not trying to make it comedic.
Instead of, I was saying, how are they going to win back public favor by sharing that they're just racist?
Well, because we're in a land of racists. So I feel like they would
get a lot
of. Well,
maybe for their audience.
Yeah, for their audience.
That might trend with their audience.
Yeah.
Which.
I don't think it's funny. I'm just, how do you win?
I was like, what part of that was funny?
It's not funny. It's just, how do you win favor? Well, you win favor. You just pull the Trump card, like just be racist, and then you can.
That's not how you win favor.
I mean, he became president, so.
That's
in this
not,
country.
But Trump's, a lot of Trump's following ain't on TikTok. I'm talking about how do you win over Gen Z? How do you win over Generation Z?
What
it's a good story time.
So I think this stuff was posted on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. I think they posted everything.
And I'm not trying to say that people that voted for Trump aren't on those platforms. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, how do you win over
the people that I know that support
Trump? Well, you could. I think that's a good idea of making it about, like, I hate the cops. So I just. But even that, like, I feel like even Gen Z is not. Most people are not going to say if cops show up, you shouldn't start shooting at them.
Right, like, you know what I mean? Of course, but I bet your bottom dollar, if there was a funny story and a character behind this guy, he would win public favor. We've seen that. You remember when freaking Dahmer was on Netflix and people were like, I mean, Jeffrey was fine. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? But that's how people are.
Like, hot when Dahmer. You,
I guess, like, personalize it and show the person behind the crimes. It warms the audience a little bit for whatever reason. I don't F with that. I'm not buying no George Santos cameo, and I don't think Dahmer is fine. But people, unfortunately, can fall very easily into that, you know?
I think the true villains of a lot of these stories, you know, like George Santos, he's obviously a villain, but I think the true villains are the people who enable him, like the people who bought the cameos. I'm always struck by that. We're so mad at the individuals, and we're like, well, we ourselves as a society allowed this man to do this. I gotta think the journalists should be blamed. This guy was able to get elected.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody did a background check on this man. Like, that's insane to me. I guess in this case, this whole case is just screams of white privilege. This idea that even anybody could have that amount of money, $59 million.
Just
to spend
on the wedding. Not I on thought, your like yearly income, your wedding.
I was pissed that we spent $15,000.
Yeah.
I was not pissed. I was just.
What should have been cut from the wedding? You're on the mic.
Maybe the husband. I don't know. You cut the husband out. It would have been cheaper.
No, you the cheapest part of the wedding. It's the other stuff.
Maybe get rid of a couple of groomsmen. I didn't need all those people. Well, a couple I'm not friends with anymore, so.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
Well, not couple. I mean, just one, actually.
Ben did have a fallout with one of the...
The groomspeople. I am friends with... No, I don't know. What else it cut out? We should have done it in your sister's backyard, in your grandma's house backyard, and...
Oh, no. And everybody like, get bit up by mosquitoes.
Father
and,
of the bride. Remember that? He suggests that they get married in the backyard. It'll save a lot of money.
Confession, I never saw that movie.
Oh, Father of the Bride?
Yeah.
Oh.
We should watch it.
Yeah, I would
Steve
watch
Martin,
it.
With Steve Martin, right? Yeah, I've definitely seen like the cover, Walking Through Blockbuster, but I feel like we chose another movie.
It's very funny. It's a good movie.
I should watch that.
Yeah, it's cute.
You want to move on to the next segment?
Next segment. Done next. With these freaking white privilege.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Mother people.
Oof. Them y'all folks, honey.
I know.
$59 million. Wow. The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent. Imperfect Parent.
Say me. So this is a segment of our show where we talk about our lives, raising a 19-month-old daughter. And she's been doing very well. The doll is currently out of the crib. And she's sleeping in the regular bed because she was crawling out of the crib. So
she was doing full flips out of the crib.
Yes, we were forced to relocate her, and now we're in the process of redesigning her bedroom, which is really fun.
Yes, Amber had me last night after our little argument we had. She's like, but I need your help to put up these lights. So she had me working, and I felt bad because I was not being the best of partner, so I felt guilt ridden. Honestly, I feel like white guilt is a good thing. Any sort of guilt can be a good thing. People talk about white guilt. Well, you only do this for white guilt. I'm like, honestly, that's the only way for a white person to do anything nowadays. Like, just get them to be guilty and things can happen. So
it wasn't even white guilt. You were just acting a fool. And then I started acting a fool. And then we had
to make
amends.
Guilty. And then
I always extend typically an olive branch like 5 minutes after an argument. You know I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll go be
You have to
angry.
Get your licks in, though.
I,
a little bit. You're like, okay, oh, now you want to help. Oh, now this. Oh, yeah. Like, you sort of.
Yeah, but that's me saying, like, I'm ready to talk to you. Just really? De-escalate. If I'm not talking to you, I mean, you really, really messed up. But if I'm saying, like, would be nice to get some help in here, like, that's me basically saying, like, all right, come on, let's make up. Let's hurry up. You don't think so?
No.
Tell the people how you feel then.
No, not at all. But we did reconcile, and we got back together.
So it worked.
Yeah. I think the argument was basically I swear a lot, and I was trying to put something together for Amber, and I was getting frustrated, so I was like, you know, fuck, you know, quietly.
And she's repeating everything.
She didn't repeat.
We've had this argument on the pod.
We have. So, and Amber's like, stop swearing. She yelled at me. I was like, whoa.
It's so funny that that's the only thing you heard, because tell the whole truth now. How many times did I ask you on, like, the
I just kept forgetting, because I was cooking, and then I was putting things together, and then Wild was running around, and I was watching her. So I was doing three things at once. And so when I was cooking, I made a mistake, and I swore, and Amber's like, please stop.
Please stop cussing.
Kindly.
Yeah,
And then Amber, and then Wild got into something, she did it. I was like, oh, shit, or something.
I was like, please stop. Please stop cussing.
And then I started putting together a thing while watching the food I was cooking. I swore again, and then
Ben,
Amber turns
stop
around.
Stop cussing. No. That was...
It was like maybe four times.
The time I snapped was maybe time number seven.
Oh, man. She yelled at me. But actually, I realized later that in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just learning how to not swear. You know, this is all growth. But I realized later afterwards that me swearing in front of her kid, our kid, was triggering, because that's sort of an upbringing that you do not want her, because of your own family, like, trauma that you brought in.
Right.
Right.
I wouldn't call it, like, did you hear that?
I did hear that. Tweet, tweet. There's some sort of tweeting sound going on. It could be a bird. Tweet,
okay.
Tweet.
I'll take a bird. It did could sound more bird-like bird. Than mice-like. I'm not deeply traumatized by that, but it is a huge trigger.
You're like, you grew
for
up
a
with
father
people
to be
swearing.
cussing angrily.
Yeah. And then of course I'm a jerk at this point, because I'm trying to do a million things and I'm swearing, and I downgrade what you did. And I was like, sarcastically, because this will help the situation, I was like, yeah, and yelling in front of your kid is also, like, you know, and that's great,
like,
for you.
Point was, you don't have a point when it's like, no, you shot first. Like, stop.
I was like, honestly, I was like, yeah, yelling in front of your kid is more traumatizing than saying a few words while you're, like, trying to put stuff together.
Oh, Ben is
and
the king of.
That didn't help the
Ben
situation.
Ben is the king of, like, before you try to attack what I did, let me try to find something you did.
I think we'd both do that.
No. Because I apologized after. I was like, you know what, I shouldn't have been raising my voice. Like, that wasn't cool. And now this is the part where you apologize for cussing. You were like, well, you were raising your voice. I'm like, I just apologize for raising my voice. Cue you, right? And you standing behind the curtain, waiting in the wings. We're like, get on stage.
I did apologize.
You did.
I did.
And then we put together the room.
We put together the Little Mermaid room.
Which is also another point of conflict, because I want her to have live goldfish in this underwater fantasy that I've been trying to create, and somebody that I'm married to doesn't have vision. So here we are again.
So to be fair, I think there is a lot of things that go into owning a fish. Like, you have to clean the aquarium.
What about me says I haven't owned a beta fish?
I mean,
the black part. Got it.
No, I'm okay. I'm not black, and I didn't own a beta fish, or I'm white and I didn't own a beta fish. So I don't see color in this situation.
It's the woman thing.
Well, it's the woman thing.
It's my shoes.
It's the cleaning part. No, and also Wild loves to grab things. She's really into just ripping things up. So I didn't want to do that, but I did. Oh, yeah. She's opening up cough drops and then handing them to us, because we're using them all the time. Like, oh, we're both sick.
Even on days that we don't want the cough drops, she's like, yeah.
I was like, just, like, she opened up so many. I told Amber, I'm like, oh, just give them to me.
I was like,
I can't stand
they're all
waste.
Hairy and just, they got, she'll put them on the carpet and then give them to you. It's like, get these cough drops out my face, Bo.
All right. But back to the goldfish. I did have a listener send me a a wonderful article from the New York Times about how goldfish are an invasive species. They're very aggressive and they can grow to be, you know, a foot long. And so buying goldfish is actually very harmful for our ecosystems. And so I think I'm
sure
doing
buying
something.
Snakes are harmful for our ecosystem.
Do you
as well,
love Mother Gaia?
Who?
Mother Gaia.
I don't know who that is.
Gaia is the earth. It's the personification of our earth. Do you love Mother Gaia?
Yeah.
I don't think you do because you would understand ecosystems.
Then why? Okay, so I feel like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago you were advocating, you were a lawyer, an attorney for a snake. So us owning a snake and messing with Mother Gaia then, does that, see, you're doing right now what you'd be doing in arguments.
Yes.
Like, so you're unable to see how you just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You got me there.
I did get you. But I will concede that she doesn't need a fish right now. How about
Thank
that?
Yeah.
How about one night you make us, oh my God. You remember we made that cod the other night?
It was delicious. It was so good. Amber is hating on my food. It was a cod that was based in this Parmesan mixture. So it was like fried
Stop.
Cheese.
Run that back.
And cod, it was so good. It was a fried cheese cod sandwich.
Don't nobody want no sour cheesy fish.
Because
Parmesan is a sour cheese, Ben.
So it was so good.
I was like, why does this fish have cheese on it? It is not like no filet of fish where it's like, oh, a cheddar. You know what I'm saying? It was like a cheese that you typically go to on fish.
You get the umami from the fish. You get the sour taste. And then I put a lot of lime on it. So you get that.
No, lime and salt works. It's the lime, the salt, and lime, salt, and maybe heat works. But that lime, salt, and cheese.
I thought it was really good. I ate them. And our babysitter who's from the Midwest was like, oh, this reminds me of like Midwest.
She's from fish. The Midwest, so she was being nice. That's what that is. That's that Midwest nice.
She ate it too.
She's like, I'm from Wisconsin, so it reminds me of home. I'm like, whatever, girl. We pay her. So she got to put on a good face. Like the fish is good, but you know that fish went right, man. Put some seasoning on that fish. Like the Old Bay. We have the Old Bay. So why are you overthinking it?
I got it off the internet. I wanted to try something different.
So you liked it?
Yes, I truly enjoyed it. I liked the fried nature, the burnt cheese.
The next segment of our show is called the I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships.
I do.
We're really excited because we now have the Fly on the Wallin advice hotline, and you can call 1-833-FOTW-311 if you have questions, if you need advice, if you're in a romantic relationship, a work relationship, a familial relationship. So we have some calls and I'm going to play them.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to play them on my computer. Okay, here is our first call.
Hey, Amber and Ben. You guys are so funny, and I just love being a part of your little family. Okay, here's my question. So I have, I don't even know, someone that I met like in middle school, and we've been having an emotional relationship ever since then. We're in our late 20s now, and I'm at the stage where I just want to like pray to God to let me release this guy. He's one of my best friends, but when it comes to us being in a relationship, I think he's really tied to who I was when I was younger. And now that I'm evolving, it's like things align, but then at the same time, they don't. There's so many issues. One being like he has a child. I hate that fact. I don't know how to get over it. But I really do love him. And when we go out, we have the best time. But I also feel like I need help truly closing out this chapter so that I can, like, be open to meeting someone else.
All right, yeah. You got to write a new chapter. You got to end this story.
Yes, end this story.
If you hate him having a kid, then it's over.
It's over, dog.
Yeah.
It's over.
And you know it's over. Yeah. And you just have this emotional attachment. I wish there was an emotional attachment drug we could take, that de-attachment drug. You just drink it. You ever watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I haven't seen that.
So basically, this is the premise. She, this caller, this woman, they, this person would go to this doctor and they erase the memories that you have of the relationships that you've had in the past. And so if you want to get over somebody, that's what Jim Carrey does. He goes to someone to erase this relationship he had with this woman who he still loves very much. Mm. And so and it allows him to get over it. But as there's some nice little twist here and there. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies in college. I just watched it over and over and over again. And I think this would have been really helpful. But in this case, you need some emotional detachment because you have all this history. But yeah, if you don't have a... You don't want to mess with the kid. Like,
yeah, there's literally nothing that he could do to not have a kid. Well, I won't say nothing. But
people do kill their children.
To date. American Murder, Next Door, freaking yes. Netflix. But obviously we're exaggerating. Yeah, there is absolutely nothing that can be done. It almost makes me question a little bit, not to blame you, caller. I'm super glad that you called in. But like, why did you start dating him? Or did you find out there was a kid after the fact?
Well, like, they were best friends. It sounds like they've had this really long-term relationship.
Yeah, but they reconnected after a couple of years, is what she said.
It's that Facebook that just pops up. You're like, but I haven't talked to them in a while.
Right,
know?
But you didn't see kids in the pictures? Did he have the kids? And you then know, later share, like,
men
just
hide
so you know.
Their kids. Men hide
their kids. I could totally see
kids.
That. I could totally see that,
they
which
put them
is
in
really
the closet
up.
Underneath the bed.
Okay.
In a treasure chest down the ocean.
Yes. They put them in a little suitcase in the closets. But here's the thing about it. So there had to be some part of you that knew that he had a kid, but why proceed if you know you're like, or...
Why did I proceed with you? I know you were emotional damage and I still proceeded with you, you know? No, I'm just saying, why proceed with anybody despite... Right. Well, you look past their flaws, right? You
but
understand...
But the kid is not his flaw. Like, he had a kid... who I'm assuming he loves and takes
well,
care of.
Well, she says that she
for.
Hates that fact about her. She hates that.
No, I think she hates the fact that he has a kid.
And I think also she doesn't know. She says, I don't know how to get over it. Implying that she knows societally, like, you need to be able to be cool with other people having kids that are not yours. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think there is something special about blended families and the ability to like make it work.
Yeah, of course.
And trying to do that. And I think she understands that
she can't do that.
She can't do that. I think she regrets that a little bit.
What do you think is worse? Is like she wants a kid, but she just wants
I have no idea.
Or,
I don't want to make
or
any
she's just
assumptions.
Like, I want to be child free, period.
I mean,
either
I
way,
don't know. It could be any of those. I think just the idea. I mean, there's so much hurdles that I'm thinking just off the bat, like that kid might not respect you as an adult figure. Like, yeah. Oh, you're with my dad, but you're not really my mom. Or that kid might just be a bad kid. And then you have to deal with
I mean, it
all
sounds
this
like
baggage.
The child's existence is what bothers her.
It could, but also kids cost a lot of money. And yeah. All of a sudden you go from being alone where right away you start dating someone and now you have all these new expenses right off the bat. With me and you, we knew that we had time to plan for a kid.
Right.
We could save up money. And then slowly, like, we were able to pay for things. And, you know, when Wild was born, she didn't go right into swim lessons. She didn't go right into music lessons.
In closing, man.
You know what you need to do. You need to break up with this man. You need to move on. You need to take an emotional detachment pill. You can buy them on Amazon using promo code FlyOnTheWallIn.
That's right. Okay, let's get into our second question. You ready for this one?
Second question, number two. A
little bit more difficult. Again, thank y'all for calling in. Here we go.
Hi, Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. So I'm calling because, okay, so I currently co-parent with my one-year-old's father, right? We have a good relationship. We aren't friends, but for the sake of our child, we get along. Now, he's vegan, and he's actually entering into being alkaline, and therefore there's some diet restrictions that he would prefer our child uses. Now, she doesn't have a horrible diet. He gives her alkaline rice. and veggies, and I give her veggies as well, like carrots, cauliflower, and the other day we tried Brussels sprouts, and she likes it. And I told him, and he's like, oh, why did you give her that? And I'm like, it's vegetables. It's not like I'm giving her ravioli and cow's milk. She's drinking almond milk and eating veggies. I don't understand. I guess I'm just trying to figure out, because I can't just limit her. I eat everything. Mind you, I don't have these diet restrictions in general. So the fact that I'm trying to keep up, it's like, bro.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, initial thoughts?
I say, if you want her to eat this way, you need to be doubling down on, you do all the meal prep, you do all the meal planning, and all I have to do is throw it in the pot and give it to her. Because you have to do all the preparation. And that's what, you know, we've reached a couple of disagreements about things.
With food specifically.
Not even just food, just like, you remember our cloth diaper argument?
Yep.
And it just sometimes comes down to like, okay, well, are you going to be helping me with all of the additional laundry that helps with this thing? Or are you just making rules and then you're expecting me to carry them out? Like, that's what's challenging and frustrating. Yeah. And I'm sure she feels that way for sure.
I wonder what their time split is. Because the kid is 1.5, she said, or 1?
Yeah, it sounded like very early, yeah.
Very early. So if the kid is more with you, then that's more groceries, like whatever. I mean,
yeah, you buy the groceries then.
Yeah, you buy all the groceries. You make all the plans. I would present this to him, being like, "Hey, I will do this under these conditions.
Under these conditions,
like write the conditions in which you would actually do this. And if there's no conditions for you to do this, then just be like, "Hey, I will do what I can and feed her how I can, but you gotta feed her however way you want,
right?
When you have her, you know,
because it takes planning to
different parents,
follow
yeah.
this diet, to follow this structure. So if he's wanting to list demands and not be a part of the solution, you know, Ben, I'm all the time, because Ben will always be like, you ordered this little cheap thing off Amazon. I'm like, okay, well,
yeah.
here's a item that we need. Go order it from wherever you like.
And I will.
And sometimes you do. And sometimes, I forgot to order that.
Then or I'll be like, you know what? I don't care enough. I don't care enough that about it.
You
got to
pick your battles. Right.
So I would put the responsibility on him.
100%.
And be like, I'll do this, but here are my conditions.
100%. And if he can't, like, get it in writing. Like, not to be that petty about it, but I love receipts. I love being, here's the screenshot where you said you were going to do all the prepping, planning. You're going to pay extra for this alkaline diet.
I don't even know. What is, have you heard of this alkaline?
I have. I don't want to misspeak on it too much, but what I will say that what I have heard about it is from this guy named Dr. Sabies. From other black people that follow this diet, I have heard that he is sort of one of the founders of how, like, he talks about, again, I'm going to butcher this, so, but I just want to give a few bullet points. He talks a little bit about how a lot of like the ailments and the sicknesses and the things that we have are because of our diet, like certain foods build more mucus in the body. And so it's just, I mean, I can't really speak to, you know, the medical part of all of this, but it is essentially probably, you know, just a healthier, leaner diet. It's like all of these diets. It's like keto and a raw diet and vegan and things like that. So, but I think all of my friends who are actively vegan go out of their way to make sure that they have what they need when they come to, or like buy. I mean, I will go to a vegan restaurant. I will accommodate my vegan friends, but they also know, like, if I'm going to this Christmas party, there might not be as many options for me or whatever.
Or you'll
but
let
we're
the
also
people
in LA where there's
a
vegan or a gluten-free or something on every single menu.
That's true.
And in some places that just doesn't exist. So you kind of have to prepare for those situations.
Yeah. I'm going to say it again. If he wants this bad enough, give him your conditions.
Period.
You know? But if there are none of your conditions, be like, hey, I'll raise her my way in this regard, and you raise her that way in this regard.
Yeah, that one gets tricky.
But, that's the reality of the situation, right?
I mean, it just needs to be like, on weeks that you prep the alkaline diet, I'll follow it. And on weeks you don't, we can't. Like, we're doing our best, but we absolutely just can't. And sometimes, you know, like she just said, like, at first he's vegan and then he's alkaline. Like, sometimes these diets just come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we try to be consistent about it, but we're not. Like, I definitely remember growing up in my house, if my mom was on a certain diet, like, the whole house was kind of on that diet.
Yeah.
Like, and so she went through all the fads of, like, the lean cuisine, the Atkins. And it's just like, no shade, mama, but sometimes they eventually just fall off of it. So my dad's like, we only got to deal with this, like, 2 weeks, and she'll be back to her. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, you know, I'm just being honest. Those are our voicemails for this week. Please keep leaving us those voicemails. The last segment of our show, we were going to do this very quickly.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Because we got to get on to the next episode. The last segment of our show is called Shelfie.
Ooh, 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 Shelfie.
All right. Yeah, Shelfie, this is the time of the show we talk about what movies we're watching, what books we're reading. Amber and I watched a movie together called Leave the World Behind.
Yep, Netflix.
Starring Julia Roberts.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon shows up.
Oh, yes, yes.
He has a minor role. And then a really cool newer actress. She was in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. That's where I saw her.
Yes.
And it was a good time. It almost read like a fable, honestly.
We don't know her name.
It was based off of a book, and it does read like a fable. And the premise of it is that this family gets a vacation house on Long Island, but then the world falls apart due to a cyber attack. And the family who owns the house comes back, and they're a black family. And the white family staying at the house is like, we're not going to let you in here, because they don't realize that the world is falling apart. So these two families end up trying to live. And
racism.
Yes. These two
general mistrust.
Yes. And that the.
Sorry. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. Yeah. But the film is about them dealing with the fact that the world is falling apart. And
right.
You have to leave the world behind.
Thoughts on the outro, the ending?
The ending is much debated. I thought it worked very well, because the thing is, if you ever read a fable, there are these lessons, and there are very clear lessons about what's going on in the story. For example, there's this beautiful scene where these oil tankers start to run aground on the beach.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking at this oil tanker. They're not moving. And the little girl, for a while, keeps on saying, there's something wrong with the oil tanker. It keeps coming towards us. Something wrong with the oil tanker. Just keeps repeating it. Mm-hmm. And the family's like, no. Eventually, until it's right up on them, they run out, because the oil tanker would have ran over on them.
Right.
And I think that's a perfect metaphor about the U.S.'s ability to continue to colonize throughout the entire world. And we keep on thinking, at one point, a character says, the U.S. has made a lot of enemies. And we keep on thinking that we can just keep on doing terrible things to other countries, killing civilians. We call that. I mean, the U.S. military, for me, will always be a terrorist organization. And I know Amber hates me, but the thing is, we have.
We're trying to get listeners.
When people die, we call it collateral damage. But when a terrorist organization like Hamas kills innocents, we call that terrorism. But the U.S. does the same thing. We employ many of the same tactics.
I'm just saying, you can be a little heavy-handed.
I can be heavy-handed, but I think what the film plays on that, it looks at that the U.S. has done these terrible things throughout history.
Yes.
And it's implying that, hey, we're having this massive oil tanker coming right towards us, and we think it's okay. Everything from, global warming, et cetera. I shouldn't say the U.S. is a terrorist organization. I don't think...
They've already stopped listening, Ben.
There's no terrorist organization. I think the way we quantify terrorist organizations are really, really interesting and debatable, because anyway, that's a larger discussion. I thought the movie was fantastic, but the ending... Yeah.
I felt a little dissatisfied on the ending, but I know directors like to do this for aesthetic, and
There's no conclusion.
Again, spoilers, but essentially, like, the little girl who's been trying to watch the ending of Friends finally finds, like, a DVD in the neighbor's bunker. She puts that on, and that's the end of the movie. And I don't know. I haven't seen a single episode of Friends. So I remember reading some, like, Variety articles about, like, well, everybody knows in this final scene, Ross and Rachel, and I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm out.
Because we didn't watch Friends. Yeah, so I haven't seen Friends either.
Right, so, I mean, I can appreciate the ending without having that knowledge, but I definitely think something in that episode will tie to...
if you watch Friends, you would appreciate Leave the World Behind a little bit more.
Yes, or I can, I have enough intellect to conclude, like, oh, this is a finale of a show, this is a finale of a world. Like, I can make that connection, obviously, but... I just hate when I don't see, like, an actual battle. Like, I hate when a whole movie is about, like, this thing's about to happen, movie ends. I'm like...
And it's so... They ramp up the drama and the scare. And you constantly think something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah, you're waiting for that.
Some violence. Multiple guns are shown
throughout. The final big battle, the big bad, and it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
So that sometimes is a little, like, dissatisfying to me. But I definitely still think you all should just, like, check it out. It's on Netflix.
I think it's a phenomenal story.
You ready to get out of here, babe?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wildin Podcast. Please enjoy our live show in Atlanta. We will be in LA. We'll be doing the live show in LA in February. So be on the lookout for those dates. And we'll see y'all next week for the show.
Bye. Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, cause those laughs keep you coming, cause they're wildin all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, cause they're wildin all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does a dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.